sinking sand. A doubting maze of desert land. Where darkness rules the heart of man. Till the sun shines light on him. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. We're getting ready to start the Dark Side of the Supernatural. Listen, this is a course for, well, we're going to hope that all, that we can put this out for everybody. This is about discernment. This is about knowing the difference between what is coming from the dark side and what is coming from the hand of God. Do you know the difference? Do you know the difference between dark, finite spirits and their agenda, and then the hand of God, the Spirit of God? Can you distinguish between the two? Everybody can experience one side or the other, but you can't experience both together. They are in total opposition to each other. We're dealing with the Spirit of God, we're dealing with the hand of God, and we're dealing now also with the dark side, the demonic side. As I've said in many, many of the broadcasts, that there is this ramping up of the dark side. And so in this course or training session that we're going to be doing, we're going to talk about, well, the dark side of the supernatural. And then also the right side, or the God side of the supernatural. Because, again, millions are experiencing supernatural things on each side. One comes from God, and the other comes from the demonic, from the satanic. One comes with truth and clarity and revelation. One comes with deception, seduction, and hiddenness. So it's very important that we understand what is happening in the world around us. And listen, if you're a believer, and I assume you're a believer in Christ, if you're not, I engage you to listen through the first introduction here, and maybe even write me an email. Let's talk about where you're at spiritually. Not everything that everybody's experiencing right now in the world around us is coming from God. It is predicted by the Spirit of God that there will be all kinds of spiritual experiences, visions, dreams, healings, counterfeits, signs, wonders, doctrines, writings, visitation, voices, all kinds of things that can come from the demonic side, that can come from the satanic side. So we want to deal with this. We're going to do a series. It's actually called ESP or HSP. We're dealing with the dark side of the supernatural, but also the hand of God, the God side of the supernatural. And we're beginning with about 9 or 10 sessions on discernment. So this is the introduction. My name is Russ Dizdar. If you've gotten this by somebody sending it to you or giving you a CD, let me tell you something. You can go to the web, www.shatterthedarkness.net. And if you go to shatterthedarkness.net, there you'll find everything you need to know about us and a lot of things that we can offer to you freely and give to you. Hundreds of one-hour podcasts, broadcasts, trainings, interviews, teachings. And so we hope that you'll take advantage of that. Well, we are going to do right now the introduction in the area of discernment. And there's a very, very, listen, very, very important need for that. When I was in grade school many, many years ago, I was part of that fifth grade class or sixth grade class. I don't remember which. But they brought a film in to show to warn children of sexual predators. And I remember the film, the black and white film of a little 4 or 5 year old girl walking along the side of the road in her tennis shoes and little dress. And I remember an old car pulling up and a man that looked like a grandfather. And he was kindly looking and very nice, very acceptable, dressed nice, a beautiful smile. He opened the car door towards the girl, the passenger side, inviting her to come in, and he had a bag of candy on the seat. And he was talking to the little girl with a smile, and the little girl had a smile also, and she saw the candy, and he kept offering it to her, and she eventually crawled up and got into the car to take the candy and go with the man. Now, remember the warnings that it gave. It didn't show the gory details, except at the very end when it talked about how some of these sexual predators, child abusers, what they would do, and it told us about running and so forth, but at the very end it showed the little girl's tennis shoes floating down a creek in the middle of the woods where I guess she was raped and killed and buried. And let me tell you something about the dark side. Again, wherever you're coming from, I want you to know that the dark side, I've experienced that. I've experienced it before I came to Christ. I experienced it in the first few months of when I came to Jesus Christ, where there was a battle. There was the old dark spirits that still wanted things and felt that they had rights to my life. But now in Christ and experiencing the power of God and the authority of Christ and the work of the cross, I was free, and I learned that there is clearly, experientially, two sides to the supernatural experiences. And I've seen that all along for many 35 years now in many people's lives. Many people are hearing voices and getting dreams and feeling led and kind of a supernatural synchronicity. And all these things are occurring, and they can be very, very real, but they can also be very, very dangerous. The sexual predator is real. His smile is real. His kindly looking face is real. His candy is real. His sweet persuasion is real. But so is his raping, abusing, and eventually killing. And that's what we need to understand when it comes to supernatural, spiritual things that are occurring all around us. I warn the New Agers. I warn the psychics. I warn those who are engaging in powers that seem to be okay, that bring to you experiences. I warn the believers in Christ that Jesus taught us very, very clearly 2,000 years ago. And I'm going to give you a number of scriptures to mark down and a number of places to go and to be very urgent with you as a believer in Christ about God's call, the Spirit of God's call in your life, and what we are supposed to do about discernment. Because, listen, in a fallen world, when we do not have the Spirit of God, when I did not have the Spirit of God inside and did not have the life of the living Christ and did not have the Word of God in my life, I just had human perception, just fallen human perception. You know, we can all look at somebody trying to sell us something. We can all look at somebody trying to influence us or invite us into something. We can try to discern and perceive what is their real intent. What do they really want? You see, if the devil himself comes masqueraded as an angel of light, if his entire approach is deception, seduction, if he is the father of lies, how then can a fallen, unsaved individual, whether you're an intellectual, a military leader, a politician, an educator, it doesn't make any difference. How can you, as a human, distinguish and know the difference? Please understand, this dark side of the supernatural I'm talking about have been around for millennia. This is their core nature. When Jesus talked about Satan, he said he's the father of lies. He's also a thief, a murderer. He steals and he robs. And this is the warning that we would give to the world. There really is supernatural, spiritual experiences that people are having all over the place. But I'm telling you now that there are so many of them that are wrong. And a key factor in all of this, and I'll repeat this again and again and again. You know what the key factor is? The key factor is this. Finite, fallen, demonic presence cannot and will not ever lead you to the living, real Christ, to a personal relationship with God. They cannot, they will not. That's the evidence of any kind of spirituality that's coming from them. That spirituality will lead you further away from the real Christ, from God, from a personal relationship. It'll lead you into spiritual experiences, episodes, all kinds of, things that affect your senses that are supernatural. But they can't, because of their nature, and they won't because of their will, ever point you in the direction of God. Whether that's demonically led writings, somebody channeling speaking, supernatural data coming into somebody's head, revelation, voices, spirits speaking. If it's from the dark side, it will lead you deeper into the dark side. On the other side of that fence, the good news is the infinite, uncreated Spirit of God, as He comes moving in the world all around us, He comes to reveal God. He comes to point to the living Christ. He'll point people to Christ, to the cross, to the Word of God. All the supernatural signs, wonders, spiritual gifts, dreams, visions, powers of God, everything that comes from God will carry God's presence, point to the living Christ, because He is God in human flesh. That's the centrality of the revelation of God Himself. It'll point you to the Word of God. Every supernatural thing coming from God will jive, will be in sync with all of the living Scripture, the Word of God. So let me go into a few things here in the introduction to this entire, we're calling it a course. But the discernment side series that we're doing, we just simply want to get it out to everybody, and we want you to have it. So, listen, let me go over a few things. I share the example of the predator issue, and that's true. All around us, there is, the Word of God would call them unclean spirits or demons. We can look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, when the Spirit of God expressly, I mean, there's a urgency behind what God the Holy Spirit is saying. Now, don't you want to take note of that? Taking note of what the Spirit of God expressly has to say. That in the latter days, in the end of days, that seducing spirits, the Greek word is planos, that it means that they're seducing, they're coming in volume, they're coming with assignment, they're coming with an agenda. But they are seducing. You look up the Greek word and look at the lexicons, it can refer to seducing, deceiving, and even the word imposter is used. And the concept of roving, they're roving around, they're looking in search of victims, literally. So I want to give you four points here in the very beginning, four things to remember quickly. I'll say them, then I'll go over them. Number one, there is a goal to deceive you. Number two, you will be tested. Number three, it is spiritual warfare. Number four, the battle is in the context of the fallen world, the old flesh nature, and the devil himself. Now let me go over those four. Number one, there is a goal to deceive you. If you can look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, you're going to see that the Spirit of God is expressly, clearly, plainly telling us that spirits, the ramping up of the spirits too, are going to be coming in the latter days. And the purpose is to deceive, seduce, and to offer doctrines of demons, didache, teachings, dogma. So for the New Agers, understand that New Age teaching from Helena Blavatsky, from Alice Bailey, from David Spangler, from Paul Von Ward, from Barbara Marx Hubbard, and on down the list. You will have doctrines of demons when these planos spirits, or as we read in Ephesians 6, cosmocrators, these powerful, they can call them ascended masters if they want. When I was in the Buddhist temple learning how to meditate and leave my body, I was told by the master in that temple to allow these wise ancient spiritual masters to come to us. Well, I found out later that these are the planos, or even the cosmocrator. They are demonic in nature. They serve a dark kingdom. They're able to present themselves as light. They have incredible, because of the source, they're the origin of deception, seduction, being an imposter, masquerading. And they have to masquerade because their real agenda, like the sexual predator, the real agenda is to abuse, is to harm, is to gratify self, and to then bring destruction. But they will present themselves as vulnerable, kind, kindly individuals with gifts and so forth. That's the mask they use. That's the deception. That's why it's so deadly. Deception is deadly. Seduction is deadly. If we've learned anything at all in the scriptures in Genesis 3, when the fallen cherub came, God gave us the word of God. That one single verse, if gripped and committed to, could have saved the entire human race from the sin, the disgrace, the pain, the shame, the rape, the wars, the blood, and death itself, and separation from God. But because of the throwing away of the Word of God and the thrusting away of the presence of God and the embrace of a spiritual alternative, that's what it is, a spiritual alternative. And the dark side will offer spiritual alternatives. They'll offer a different Jesus, a different spiritual writing, a different spiritual experience, a spiritual power, voices, all kinds of things. Right now, today, as predicted, there is a smorgasbord of spiritual experiences that are literally thundering out from the dark side, presenting itself as light, love, everything else. Behind that mask is the predator. Behind that mask is the spiritual and eventual physical, mental, emotional abuser that will bring a spiritual rape, an eternal rape, to a man or woman's soul. Now, I'm not kidding when I share this. Deception is deadly. And if you've ever been, you know, deceived in some cult or something else, and you've come out of it, listen, if you're lost and you don't know the living Christ, you don't know God, and you don't have God in your life, then you've got to understand something. Your spirit is dead to God, and you haven't experienced the living God that created and the Redeemer that's come for you that loves you. There's an experience that comes from God that leads you to God, personal relationship, the gift of eternal life, the powers of God, the guidance of God. I've told people for years, and I say this to New Agers and psychics all the time, I have a spirit guide. He is God, the Holy Spirit. He guides me. He teaches me. One of my favorite verses. You know what it is? It's in Isaiah chapter 48. Down around verse 17 and 18 where it says, you know, I am the Lord your God, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, who teaches you what is best and leads you in the way that you should go. So spiritually and supernaturally, God, in relationship with God, God only does one thing, to teach us what is best, to lead us in the way that we should go. And listen, in a confusing spiritual world, a confusing world of you know, so many directions, there is a singularity. There is God, the infinite God, and God is seeking, God is speaking, God has acted, God is acting. As a matter of fact, as you're listening right now, you may even experience the work of the Spirit of God, or the power of the Word of God, or the sense of the revelation of the living Christ and His call for you, if you don't know Him, to come to Him and experience and receive Him as the living Savior and Lord, and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember the night that I cried out in prayer to accept Christ into my life and to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget it. And all the experiences since then. Well, I want you to know too, as believers in Christ are listening, that as we've said, number one, there is a goal. And you say, well, I'm a Christian now. Well, okay, that's fine. But Jesus warned believers. He warned disciples. Go back to Matthew 24. When the disciples were asking about the end of days, you know what he did? In the beginning of the discussion of the end of history and the second coming of Jesus Christ, the first words of Jesus' teachings is simply this: don't let anybody deceive you. You know, there's going to be many coming in my name, false prophets, false Christs. There's many false coming. to deceive many. Notice the goal. The reason that dark spirits will engage individuals that will believe them and write down the doctrines and let those demon spirits attach to them and come into them, then they become the channels and the ones used in spreading a message of alternative counterfeit spirituality that will never lead a person to God, never lead a person to the living Christ. And so please understand, the Word of God teaches in Matthew 24, in 1 Timothy 4, 1, in 1 John chapter 2, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it teaches clearly that there is the goal of the dark side, the supernatural dark side, to deceive you. We're told, don't let it happen. Don't let anybody deceive you. And so we're going to look at a word here in a little bit where it says, the command is in 1 John chapter 4, you know what it is? Test the spirits. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the command of God is to all believers in Christ, test. I don't care if you're 6 months old as a believer or 30 years old as a believer, God, the Holy Spirit, written in the Word of God, teaches us very clearly here. It's dokamazo, dokamazo. It means to test by implication, to approve something. It has the idea again of discerning and distinguishing and examining. I went into the refrigerator the other day and picked up a cantaloupe that was in one of those bottom drawers. It must have been there a long time. Looking at it from a distance, fine. But as I got closer to it and when I picked it up, it was on the opposite side, fuzzy, green, soggy, and rotten. Everything that comes from the dark side from a distance is going to look okay. But as you spiritually examine, you're going to see the rottenness, the deception. And so God says to the believer in Christ, test the spirits to see whether they come from God or not. Test the spirits because there is the spirit of truth and there is the spirit of error. How do you recognize the spirit of truth against or in contrast to the spirit of error? Well, the book of 1 John is very clear about, well, what is the spirit inspiring people to say? What is the message? What is the teaching? Because a dark spirit, a demon spirit, a seducing spirit cannot nor will it ever reveal biblical truth. I mean, they'll take, like Satan did to Jesus in Matthew 4. They can't quote Scripture correctly. It's always going to be twisted. That's their nature. Please understand, they're not going to change. They've chosen this. It is eternal. And so if they even use Scripture in like all kinds of occult and New Age writings, even Alice Bailey and Helena Blavatsky and all of these writers that were guided not by the Spirit of God, but by these seducing spirits that dictated their writings, which became didache, teaching, dogma. New Agers a lot of times say, well, I'm not into the dogma of the church, referring to the old Catholic Church, because they think dogma means something, you know, strict and dry. Well, it can be. It can be the dogma or the doctrine of man. When the doctrine of man infiltrates the church and changes things, yes, it is. Because the Spirit of God doesn't back the doctrines of man. He doesn't attest to and bring the experiences of God through the doctrine of man. And obviously, the Spirit of God doesn't operate through, bring witness to, and bring the experiences of God when doctrines of demons. This means teachings, dogma, writings, massively throughout the New Age movement. That is demonic dogma. It's teaching. It's writings. So if you know of or have gotten into or are now in, like the Course in Miracles, Eckhart Tolle's book, The New Earth, those are doctrines of demons. They have been inspired directly by demonic presence. Now, opposite of that, and in contrast to that, you have the Scripture. You got 40 writers over a period of 1,500 years, three continents, three languages, but every writer, number one, knew God, was in fellowship with God, had the Spirit of God operating in and on them. Every writer knew that they were inspired, they were being guided by the Spirit of God. And all of Scripture attests to that fact. So, okay, I have no problem saying, okay, the New Age writings and Luciferian writings and occult writings and so forth, there is spiritual inspiration behind it. Correct. By planos, seducing imposter spirits that bring counterfeit and an alternative. Why is it alternative to God? Why would anybody want the alternative? It's like asking a woman, would you rather have a diamond or the cubic zirconium? Would you like the $9 cubic zirconium that looks like one? Or would you rather have the $4,000 diamond? Ask any woman that. You know the answer. It's going to be the diamond. You want the real spiritual presence, power, experience. So for all of those that might be in the New Age or be in some kind of spiritual practice, and you realize, hey, you know what? I'm experiencing something, but it's never led me to God. I've never met a New Ager. I've never met, you know, individuals that are claiming in the remote viewing world and other places, hey, I've got the Spirit of God, and I know Jesus, and He's the Son of God. He's the Savior who died on the cross. They won't proclaim any of that because they have no experience of it, because what they do have has not come from the Spirit of Christ. If it comes from the Spirit of God, it leads you to God. If it comes from a dark spirit, it leads you into that darkness. Both are real. One is deadly. One is life. One involves hiddenness, deception, seduction, confusion. One involves clarity, revelation, truth, an unveiling of God in all of who He is. Listen, if you don't know God, take a look at the Gospel of John and read it for its own sake. If you want to know what deep theology, I mean, listen, this is the deep theology, the revelation of God in human flesh. Take a look if you want to know what God is really like. Well, as I go over these points, and I mentioned already, the goal, number one, is you will, you know, listen, there's a goal to deceive the world. That's, you could read Revelation chapter 12, when it talks about the ancient dragon, the serpent, the devil. You know what it says? It's amazing what it says. I want you to ponder what it says. You know, a lot of believers believe there's a devil because the Bible says so, but they have no idea what his origin, his nature, that's one thing. But his direct methodology and his direct activity and agenda, he has a passionate, emotional, he knows his time is short, and so he's working in a furious way. Read that in Revelation 12. And read in Revelation 12 where it talks about this fallen ancient power and presence leads the whole world astray. In the general sense of the whole of the world, that's the ultimate goal. That's the goal of what's happening now with counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, doctrines, teachings, experiences. That's the ramping up that we've been experiencing all around us. But we haven't seen anything yet. It will become stronger, more demonic presence will manifest, more writings, more experiences, more force, until the rise of Antichrist himself, when you have the most powerful manifestation of satanic presence in human history, masked behind a cloak that presents itself as the Savior of the world, Antichristu, the instead of Christ. Now, along with that, the false prophet with miracles, incredible supernatural things, globally oriented ritual release of demonic powers is coming down the road, Revelation 16. So that's why I'm saying that if you're looking at things now as a believer in Christ, well, the goal is even deception for you. Jesus said that the goal of the deception is even to deceive the elect, if that were possible. In the book of 1 John, part of the reason the Holy Spirit writes, he says through John, I write this to you because of those who are trying to lead you astray. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, don't let anyone lead you astray. So I'm going to tell you right now, believer, God says, don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let anybody lead you astray. As a matter of fact, in 1 John 4:1, we're told, test, discern whether or not this is from God or not. Number two, I want to say quickly. Not only is there, number one, the goal to deceive, but number two, there may be direct testings. Somebody come to you with some experience. Somebody say they have some kind of word from a spirit. Somebody say that they want to do something spiritually to you, but you're not sure that it's really from God. You're hearing somebody on the radio, you're seeing somebody on TV, and you're not sure what they're all about. Well, I believe that we will be tested. I believe that that's part of the work of the enemy. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we're told that the enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour someone. Look at the seven churches in the book of Revelation as you read those early seven churches. Almost every one of them was being hit up with some kind of the Nicolaitans, the Jezebel, their false spiritual teachings and experiences that was creeping into the church to try to bring corruption to the church. Listen, if you don't understand the audacity of the satanic side, take a look at Matthew chapter 4. I mean, there's Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, and the fallen cherub Satan is standing there quoting scripture, trying to, again, I'm going to tell you that demon spirits, Satan himself, cannot quote scripture correctly because of their nature. They can use it, but it will always come out as twisted. When you read the writings of Eckhart Tolle, when you read the writings of Alice Bailey, when you read the writings, some of you that have read these writings, they'll quote scripture and use scripture, and I'll look through it and I'll get so bugged with this because I'm like, you guys do not know what you're talking about. Not only you're deceived, you're deceiving others, and you're missing the incredible, superior, infinite presence of God and the infinite supernatural experiences in Christ you can be having. You see, in the New Age movement, there is no singularity. There's just spiritual whatever, spiritual experiences, spiritual, you know, happenings, you know, all kinds of different things that continue to keep individuals preoccupied and distracted, leading them further and further on that spiritual boat out into the deep, further from the shores of God's power, grace, might, and mercies. And so again, I want to say to anybody listening, even to this introduction, what spirit guides your life? What spirit are you reading? What spirit are you engaging? If you read Didache of Demons, the dogma, the teaching that are inspired by Planos, seducing spirits, if you read them and accept them, you're accepting the spirit behind the inspired demonic writing. And you can have attachment. And there is, in a sense, a double spiritual blind going on in your life. See, the Bible is very clear. The Bible is very clear about the enemy, Satan. That's why he hates that book so much. It's the only book that accurately exposes him, says what he's up to, what he's doing. You ever read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4? In referring to Satan, it says in small g, the god of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see. They can't perceive. See, when we see something where there's a sense of perception and discernment and testing and approval in some ways. But Satan comes to blind somebody, in that particular verse, to blind them from seeing God in Christ. The whole work of Satan is to keep a person from seeing that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, who's come for us because he loves us, and who will rescue us and forgive us and wash us and plant his Spirit in us, give us the gift of eternal life, because at the cross he conquered sin and death and Satan and demons and hell and all the corruption. If you don't have God, do you want the living Christ? See, everything comes through the living Christ. Why? He is God in human flesh, the ultimate revelation of God. Now, you got to take a look at the Gospel of John. And if you're an honest seeker, a real honest seeker, you'll open your heart to the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Mark and begin to read and read and read and let the living words supernaturally speak to you. And I would pray that if you'll do that, that the Lord Jesus will deliver you from all darkness and let the Word of God, you know, penetrate your life and enable you. See, the Bible says faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ, by the Word of God. You can read in the Gospel of John, these things are written that you might believe. That's why they're written. There is supernatural power, force, life in the Word of God. So, as someone who might be a seeker, I'm urging you, take a look at the Gospel of John. Take a listen to what I am pleading with you. Yes, this is emotional for me, because I'm a human being that knows the living God in Christ, and I love you, and I care about you as a fellow human being. And I want to see you come to know God and to be set free from the darkness, from sin, from being deceived. I hate when I hear stories about how predators have seduced and taken away little children. The one case that was probably the worst, after the guy took her out of her own home and abused her sexually for days, he put her in a hole in the ground in the back of the trailer and he buried her alive. And I want you to know that the demonic world, the satanic seduction, spiritual seduction, will use and abuse your life and take you further and further and eventually seek to bury you alive in the depth of that seduction. They would glory in your death and loss of eternal life with God. They would glory in that. Satan didn't die for anybody. He didn't sacrifice his life for anybody. For Satanists and Luciferians that are out there today serving willfully the dark side, he hasn't sacrificed anything for you, but he asks you to sacrifice everything for him. He's a finite being and can't give you what the infinite God can give you. Now listen, if you're a New Ager, it's the same dark spirits, but they're masqueraded. Question is, can you perceive them? One of the tests of any spiritual experience doesn't reveal the living, real Christ of God who loves you, who's alive. Does it reveal the cross and the blood of Christ and what he's done for you and how to find God personally? Does it jive clearly and cleanly with the Scripture and what's been said by God? See, whatever comes from God will lead you to God. Whatever comes from the dark spirits will lead you away into alternatives, preoccupying you. So I'm going to tell you again from prophetic scripture, from Jesus, from the Word of God. Number one, there's a goal to deceive you. Number two, you will be tested. In the book of 1 John, it's the testimony of the early church believers. The whole book is written to a people who are being tested. Spiritual deceivers were coming, trying to give alternative paths, an alternative fake Jesus, alternative fake words, alternative fake experiences. So if you read 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, when God, in the imperative in the Greek, commanding, God is calling us presently with a command, test the spirits to see whether they've come from God or not. How do you do that? What are they saying? Now see, when you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, there is a sense, and we'll get into that in one of the sessions, there is a sense of spiritual discernment. I know the difference. I feel the Spirit of God. I know God's presence. He's been in my life 6 years now. I know the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Lord, the leading of the Lord, and how there's a inseparable unity in this Word of God, which is literally the language of the Spirit, the Word of the Spirit of God. But I also know in deliverances and things and dealing with the dark side, that presence, there's a difference. They're both real. One is finite, fallen. One is the infinite, eternal, immeasurable, personal, relational God. One seeks humanity purposely to deceive, purposely to seduce, purposely to come masqueraded as a grandmother, dead uncles, ascended ancient masters, reincarnated presences, all kinds of experiences. And nobody's testing it. Nobody's peeling back the mask and seeing the lethal, spiritual, dark predator that's behind that mask. Christians are told, and especially nowadays in this vast ramping up, unprecedented release of counterfeit, dark, demonic presence everywhere. And it will only get worse. All the way to the end. It's going to continue to get thicker in the sense of dark, supernatural spirituality. So the goal is to deceive. You will be tested. Number three, for the believer in Christ, it is warfare. Ephesians 6. Your struggle is not against flesh and blood. Literally can say, some older translations, your warfare, your battle, your warfare that's going on is not against flesh and blood people. There might be people around that the dark side is operating in and through, but it's not the physical person per se. In Ephesians 6, the believer is told that their warfare, their battle, their struggle is against rulers and principalities and powers and the cosmocrators, this host of spiritual presence in the heavenly realms. They're wicked, they're evil, they have an agenda, they've come to deceive, they've come to seduce, they've come to set up camp, they've come to set up alternatives. They've come to bring out a plan that will eventually come to a massive, massive spiritual and physical chaotic chaos and anarchy that will lead with deep, dark seduction and seducing power to the rise of the Antichrist. And then from there, my friends, even Jesus said there is never a time like it in all of history. Spiritual deception manifesting in the physical realm will be unprecedented, unequaled, unmatched in all of history. To seek to consume the world and use the world towards the end. God says, Jesus says, don't let anybody deceive you. The entire book of 1 John assumes you will be tested. Jesus taught the early disciples this. The Apostle Paul, led by the Spirit of God, taught the Ephesian elders that ravenous wolves would come into the flock, not sparing the flock. They'd try to deceive them and lead them out. You know, deceiving, spiritually led, deceiving people will try to lead people out of the body of Christ. Out away from the scriptures, out away from brothers and sisters in Christ who can help in that discernment and help bring a warning. Well, number three, I've said it's warfare. It's a battle sometimes. And what I'm saying to the believers right now too, it can be a battle that you're seeing going on all around us. And we're told in Ephesians 5 to expose the evil deeds of darkness. You see, if Christians just close their eyes and hide in their little rooms and do nothing else, they allow the encroaching darkness to consume everything. Jesus said, go into all the world. Be a light into the world. See, believers filled with the Spirit of God and the experience of the living Christ, the charismatic giftings of God, the works of the Lord, you know, we carry this into the world. We carry care for people, love for people, and it's all in, the Greek word is haletheia. It's in truth. No deception from behind what I'm saying. I'm not trying to tell you one thing, but really lead you into something different. Haletheia, truth. That's part of the armor of God, the first piece. Put on truth. It has the idea of pure honesty, absolute purity and truth. The Bible says it's the word of truth. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Do you want to listen? If you're listening by the supernatural providence of God, do you want to know God? Let me tell you something. God wants to know you in relationship. And there's a way to know God personally. You can read about it in John's Gospel, chapter 7. When Jesus gives the invitation to a vast religious audience, God in human flesh stands up in that vast religious audience and he cries out and he says, I tell you the truth. If anyone believes in me as the scripture has said, out of their inmost being would flow rivers, supernatural presence of the infinite, eternal Holy Spirit. There are experiences on both sides of the fence. To every New Ager and Wiccan and Satanist and Druid and experiencer out there and remote viewer, there's real experiences. From a distance, the dark side can tantalize your own human capacities and try to enhance them. You can have experiences. But let me ask you again, where is it coming from? Has it revealed God's love to you? God's door opened up that you can come into direct, personal, spiritual relationship. Have you ever read John's Gospel chapter 4? Jesus says that the Father God is seeking, he's seeking worshipers. Those who can be in relationship. That's what it means. The idea of those who are going to be in relationship. But you can only do it in spirit and in truth, as opposed to in spirit and in error. There is, as we've already mentioned in 1 John 4, a difference, a contrast between the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, and the spirit and spirits of error. They both come from different sources, reveal different messages, and point to different agendas. One is clear and wide open, with nothing to hide. The other begins with a masquerade. They have to. It's in their nature, and they can't just show you. They're not going to just show you their deadly, deadly selves. Like the sexual predator preying upon the 4-year-old little girl. A presentation is one thing. But what it draws you into is another. I said 4 things, I'll tell you. The goal is to deceive individuals and eventually the world. 2, you will be spiritually tested. 3, it's a spiritual warfare. Christians are told and have the opportunity to put on the armor of God. Read Ephesians 4. Or Ephesians 6, rather. Read Ephesians 6 about putting on the armor of God. And 4, the fourth point. The world, the fallen world system, yes, it's a mess. Yes, the economic and the military and the politicians, and it's a mess. You can't trust the media. You can't trust who's saying what. You can't trust politicians. You're seeing crazy, you know, warmongering ones and all kinds of, you know, lying cheats in the economic world. And you, we all know there's a behind-the-scenes shadow government, shadow mill. You know, there's all this going on. And God has revealed that there is a hidden agenda, a hidden conspiracy that involves kings of the earth, nations, and peoples that are guided by, well, the Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, Satan, the spirit who is now at work. The Greek word there means supernaturally operative in hearts and lives of those who are committed to that side. Says disobedience. When somebody's obeying dark spirits, they are completely rebelling against God. To obey the teachings of dark fallen spirits, demons, is to acquire their presence and to go deeper with them. And while you are going deeper with the dark side, you are slamming the door in the face of God's grace, the Spirit of God, and truth on the other side. Both sides, that's the law of engagement. When I come to Christ, He wants me to close the door on the deception, on sin, on the devil, on all that junk that ruined our lives. And I gladly, freely choose to slam the door on the face of the fallen world that wants to seduce me, on the old temptations of the past, and of the devil and the demonic directly. See, the dark side, the deeper it pulls you in, wants you to slam the door on God, on Christ, on the cross, on the Spirit of God. There's even rituals done in satanic ceremonies. I've got them here. I've read them. In order to go deeper with Satan, have Satan really come into your life directly, you have to really renounce God, Christ, the Bible, even desecrate the Bible in many different things and do ceremonies that will somewhat prove. Listen, if you call to Satan to come to your life, he's going to come. If you call to the ancient demons, if you go to the old ziggurats and temples around the world, the Mayans and other places around the world where the ancient demon gods and the old Nephilim roamed, and if you open those old gateways, listen, those gateways will be opened. And you can be drawn in. You can listen, if you want the dark side, it will come. If you embrace the dark side, you can have real experiences. But I tell you the truth before God, it will end up in the loss of your eternal soul, the damnation of your eternal soul. You will lose everything. Everything, including never experiencing the life, love, power, freedom of a compassionate, relational, awesome God. I'm going to see God face to face. I'm going to have that gift of indestructible immortality spoken about in the book of 1 Corinthians 15. By God's grace, when the Spirit of God convicted me, I yielded and listened and came to Christ. And the Spirit of God came in and I surrendered totally to Jesus. And I renounced the dark spirits and the dark demonic teachings, didache, dogmas, all of the stuff that was deceptive. Oh, I was even, you know, I don't want to say mad, but disturbed that the deception could take that deep of a hold in anybody's life. Well, I'm going to share just a couple of other things in the very end of this introduction to the whole series on ESP or HSP, the dark side of the supernatural, and also the God-given side of the supernatural, and knowing that we need discernment in the middle. Jesus said, don't let anybody deceive you. That's what we're told, Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 John. Just read the whole little book. But let me give you another verse that I want you to really know if you're a believer in Christ. And that's Colossians chapter 4. When you read there, when simply the Word of God says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful, and with thanksgiving. That's all. Three primary things. Prayer, being watchful, and being thankful. Are you devoted to prayer? The Bible says the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of prayer and supplication. You know, are you given over to prayer? Are you opened up to pray in the power of the Spirit of God? To experience the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding and burden and bringing Scripture to your mind as you pray. Jesus said, ask, you receive, seek, you will find, knock, and the door will be opened. How much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask? Prayer was designed to get the answers. Worship is about embracing and relationship God. Prayer, man, so much power in prayer. So God says in, again, Colossians 4, verse 2, read it. Be devoted. Be persistent. Be committed. Don't let people steal it. You and I might have to say, you know what? I've allowed the world and all the distractions and time. You know, the devil doesn't want you to pray. The devil doesn't want pastors to lead their churches in 10, 20, 30 minutes of prayer on a Sunday morning. The Spirit of God does. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge then, first of all, that prayer, supplication, look at all of it. General prayers, specific prayers for all people and kings and so forth. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills, pas anthropos, all humanity to be saved. Man, if churches aren't taking 10, 20, 30 minutes and just opening up their congregations in prayer, we're slacking. We're slacking. We're not following the Spirit of prayer and supplication in our own personal lives if we're not praying. Even when Satan came to bring Jesus to the cross, Jesus said to the disciples, couldn't you pray with me even 1 hour? They're falling asleep, everything else going on. There's too many spiritual Christian spectators and couch potatoes and lazy individuals around. We need to take up the cross, get filled with the Spirit of God, be on fire, and be committed and devoted to prayer every day. Are you at the post? Are you praying? Are you being used by God to bring about the advancement of the kingdom of God and the miracles and the works of God? Take a look at the book of Acts, how they prayed. Follow it. Secondly, it says in that verse, watch, being watchful. The Greek word literally means be attentive, looking for impending danger. So when I'm praying about everything else and praying for the city and praying for the nation and praying for people to be saved and revival to come and the Spirit of God to move and God to heal people and praying against the devil and against, you know, when I'm out there praying and praying, in the midst of that praying, there is in my disposition, Lord, I'm looking for any impending danger. Anything going on around me, give me the heads up, Lord. That's part of spiritual warfare. That's part of Lord, deliver us from the evil one. Lord, is there anything going on? Just like Jesus gave a heads up to their disciples. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Jesus gave them a heads up. Look at the churches, the seven churches in the book of Revelation. When you read about the seven churches, you're going to find one in which Jesus gives one of those because Satan's coming to attack it through, you know, some very hate-mongering people. They're going to attack the church and there's going to be persecution. So Jesus came and gave them a heads up. He tells them, Satan's coming to put some of you in prison. But be faithful. Be faithful. And so there's times I'm just looking for impending danger, saying, Lord, is there anybody doing, you know, satanic warfare against me? Is there any satanic assignments coming against me? What's the enemy trying to do? I'm asking God, the infinite Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, to give me discernment, insight. What about my family? What about friends and people that I know? Is there any? And so when I do get sense of impending danger, in the name of Jesus, by the authority of Christ, I am going to pray against it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray against it. Do you know how to pray against the dark side? Do you know how to pray against what the dark side's doing? Listen, I want you to understand, you and I, as believers in Christ, have authority. Luke chapter 10, we're to put on the armor of God. Matter of fact, the things you're going to hear me say all the way through, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus, we have such incredible, superior, the Greek word is megdala, greater is the one in you than the one who's in the world. Christians are to live in defense. They're to live stepping out and unleashing boldly their walk in the Lord. Listen, I'm going to mention throughout this course again and again the concepts of be alert. Listen to these five. Be alert, be aware, the armor of God, authority of Christ, and action in the context of our mission for Christ. So in this introduction, let me engage you. Let me invite you. If you don't know the living Christ, come to Jesus. The Word of God says, wherever you're at in all the world, if you accept right now Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, ask Him to come into your life, fill you with His power, He will come into your life right now. Word of God says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'd speak to those who are in the dark side, into the New Age, you know, planos, seducing, masquerading spirits. Come out of that. Come to the living Christ. Look what He's done for you at the cross. Nobody's done this. Nobody else has done this. The death, the resurrection of Christ, His blood that was shed for you, wields the power to bring you to God and give you the gift coming into you of eternal life. The Spirit of God inside will assure you of it. The Word of God will tell you and explain it. Write to me. If you've come to Christ and you've come to accept Him as Lord and Savior, write to me. If you're thinking about it, write to me. I'm speaking as one human being to another. I love you, but God loves you. I can tell you about salvation, but He can save you. He's the living, eternal, infinite, loving, right now alive Christ seeking you. Now for believers out there, come on, let's ramp up our prayers. Let's yield to the Spirit of God. Let's be used of God. Let God bring the spiritual experiences into your life so that you can use them for the good of reaching people for Christ, praying against the dark powers and exposing darkness. Listen, hey, listen, this is just the introduction. We've got about 9, 10, 11, 12, I don't know how many. We'll do a series. We're seeking the leading of the Spirit of God and the urgency of the hand of God to bring you the best we can. We simply love you and pray that God will bless you. My name is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, on the web.